Okay, today's daf is Samachet. We're going to start right at the last two words of Samach Zayin Amabet. We're going to get into very interesting, relevant sugyot about who is a Jew, basically. The last part of the Mishnah, which was that the Nochrit, right? It goes Vlada. We said her Vlad is like the mother. So we're going to get into that later on in the Shi'ur. Okay. Refuashli Malaboz Ben Shoshana Torah Batino is Abram Shum Menchana or the Penina Bar Rachafrida Chai Malk Esther Bat Zippor Yosef Bar Machela Bar Rivka Yelmer Bat Chai Yaakov Ben Rosa Daphna Chai Bat Sarah Chai Rachel Bat Tamar Sarah Liloi Nishma Chana Bat Zatara Reza Bat Sarah Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Halevi Umela. Okay, we were trying to figure out, if you remember, we were comparing the issue about whether the child's going to be a mamzer. What do we say? How do we know that if it's Isur Arayo or Chayav Karet or Mito Beitin, how do we learn it out that you're going to, the Vlad is going to be a mamzer? And we said we connected two things. One is that if you do it, then Ein Kiddushin Tovsim, that there is no marriage. And then the working assumption is that these two things are connected. If we say Ein Kiddushin Tovsim, that it's not a valid marriage if you were to do it, then the next jump is going to be that the Vlad is going to be a mamzer. Okay, and we learned this from the Achot Isha. Okay, we didn't look at the Pasuk yesterday, but if you look on the sheet, I brought it in the first column of the chart. The child of an Achot Isha, if you marry your wife's sister while she's still alive, or you sleep with her, Isha al-Achotah lo tikach litzror legalot ervata aleha bechayah. That's what we learned, it's only bechayah when she's still alive. And because it says lo tikach, it means, lo tikach, we're assuming means, there is no kicha, meaning, kicha is always the word used for marriage, ki yikach ish isha. And therefore, if it says lo tikach, it means that if you were to do it, there's no valid marriage. If there's no valid marriage, the child's going to be a mamzer. So then they said, we learn from here to all other arayot. That's where we ended off yesterday. Since this pasuk is in the section of the arayot, and at the end it says, kol asher yaseh mikol ha-toivot ha-ela v'nichritu. So we say that all the arayot are like this case. So now they're going to say, well, if that's the case, what's one of the arayot? The nida. And what do we know about a nida? So they say, ihachi afilu nida nami. Then if you, now the assumption, I see that Rashi explains it differently than I said yesterday, so I'm going to go with Rashi, but you'll see that it connects a little with what I said. The nida case we're talking about here is, if you look at Rashi, im kidesh pnuya bimei nidata. Okay, right now we're still talking about the topic, is Kiddushin Tovsim or not? So if we say that Kiddushin isn't Tovsim by a nida, what would be the case? Generally, a nida, we're assuming you're married. But the point is here, if you betroth a woman while she's in nida, then we would say that Ein Kiddushin Tovsim. And then the next leap you would make from there would be if you were to sleep with this woman, or then the leap is to what I said yesterday, which is if you were to sleep with a nida, even your wife while she's in nida, then the child would be a mamzer. So if we're going to say that we learn it, all the arayot, then that would be the jump that we would make. That a nida, since she's listed in that list, and all that list we're going to say, right, especially nida is yisur karet, so it makes sense to make that jump.
However, you did make a distinction between Ein Kiddushin Tovsim and to just that specific relationship versus other relationships. I mean, you had two categories. You had the category where Ein la alav kiddushin aval yesh la alacharim kiddushin, and you had the category
right, that's where she can marry other people. Right. That's our case.
That's our case.
Right.
But in the case of Anita, she can't marry anybody if she's Anita.
Ah, yeah, fair. So there's that. That's interesting. So you could say that she's part of that category, and that's right. Then they say the blood is kimota, right? The problem is that that category is saying she can't marry anybody ever. They're talking about the people like the Shifcha and the Nochrit. They're not talking about that. So what you're really saying is the Nida doesn't exactly fit that category, although she doesn't necessarily have another category to fall into, though. So now,
it's a question of how fluid the category is.
Well, then, right. So obviously,
much more flexible than any of the other examples.
What category? What?
Her category being
the Nida.
Very
right. So the Nida is clearly a bit different because the Nida is timely, right? And it's not something that's permanent. So anyway,
today somebody gets married and they happen to be in the...
So we'll see. So we're going to see. No. Okay. We're not going to hold this. This is only... So, relax. First of all, we know you can have a chupat nida and you just have to do certain things. No, I'm sorry. We left mid-sentence. So they're saying, this is an incredulous question. The Gemara is saying it can't possibly be. Okay? Ihach yafilu nida nami. And how could that be?
Okay, now here we're going to say, how could that be? This is a word that's used, alama. Alama means, if that's the case, then why does it say this? Okay, in other words, our assumption would be, Nida would be a mamzer. The flower would be a mamzer. If you say, in Kedushin Tovsim, and you were to marry someone while they're in Nida. Now, here's why I'm saying we're going to make that jump, because this case now is not talking about a case where she's Nida when they got betrothed. Now they're jumping to a case where a man sleeps with his wife when she's in Nida. So Amar Abaye, so why then did Abaye say that that's not the case? Okay, that's really what we're going to say, which basically means, in other words, it can't possibly be, and then we have to question, why can't we learn the Nida from here if we're saying this includes everything mentioned earlier? So Amar Abaye, so Alama Amar Abaye, why then does it say in Abaye's name? Hakol modim bebala nidava ala sota. I'll get to the sota in a second, I'll explain what that means. She'ein havla mamzer. Okay, everyone agrees that someone who sleeps with his wife when she's in Nida, the child is not a mamzer. What's the sota case? The sota case is, if you remember, after the husband suspects the wife of being a sota, what happens? He's not allowed to sleep with her. So if he sleeps with her after he's already suspecting her, also the vlad's not going to be a mamzer. So how do we know? Okay, so that's what. So now we say Nida doesn't fit the rule, so we have a problem. And here's a pasuk that proves it. Amar Chizkia, Amar Krab. Chizkia says, we learned it out from a pasuk. Vatihi nidato alav. That's what it says by the Nida. Okay, it says, im shachov yishkav ishota. If a man sleeps with his wife when she's in Nida, vatihi nidato alav, v'tamei shivat yamim. Okay, he becomes tamei shivat yamim. And what's the word here? Every time we see tihi, havaya, we say, is marriage. Okay, we have yikach is marriage, and havaya is also marriage. So tihi is the same shoresh, and it means vatihi nidato alav, afilu b'shat nidata teheba havaya. Okay, even when she's in Nida, there can still be marriage. And therefore, the child is not a mamzer. So now they're going to say, michti ikala kushe lenida v'ikala kushe lachot isha. So now we have two categories. What did we say before? We said, kola sheyaseh mikola tovavot ha'ela v'nichrutu, which is a general pasuk which teaches us that all these cases have the same law. But now we see within that section, one is achot isha, where we're going to say, if you look at the chart, the child's going to be a mamzer. The next is nida, where the child's not going to be a mamzer. So now the Gemara wants to know, well, we can learn all the cases are like Chotisha, and all the children there are mamzer. Or we can learn that everything's like a Nida, in which case it wouldn't be a mamzer. So why? My chazit, what made you think? Right? Chazit is to see. So Maraita, what made you see? The Mekashet Lehu La Chotisha. Why did we assume, right? Why did the rabbis all learn it out from a Chotisha? Akasha the Nida, you can make a hekesh to the Nida, and that would have been also a possibility. So what made them choose to make the hekesh to a Chotisha and be Machmir? So what did they say? Kula b'chumra l'chumra makshinan. If we have a kula and we have a chumra, which are we going to hold like? We'd rather hold by the chumra. Now, we don't always see that this is the case. And particularly here, I think it's a bit problematic, and I'll tell you why in a minute. The Mefreshim struggle with what's the kula, what's the chumra, because in these cases, you can have things that will lead to any direction. So some people say they're not talking about the fact that we're going to be mahir, that the child's a mom's here, versus... Let's put it this way. What's the chumra? If you say you go that the child's a mamzer, that's a chumra. Okay, everyone would agree. To make a child a mamzer is clearly to be more machmir. But we also say ein kiddushin tofsim. So if you say ein kiddushin tofsim, what does that mean? If this woman gets betrothed to this man that she's forbidden to be betrothed to, and then she goes ahead and marries somebody else, she's not married to the first guy, so there's no eish adish. So there's a kula in there. So some people say when they say l'chumra and l'kula, they're talking about Nida versus achot isha. Since Nida, as people said before, is something that's temporary, it's obviously less severe than the achot isha, which is an erva. You know, there's a difference between them. So it could be that. Anyway, what I wanted to suggest is that in general, I think most people would agree that we try not to be marbem mamzerim, right? If we can avoid it, we try not to be. So it's dafka interesting here that they're going lechumra and making all these child mamzerim when there's a nityan other places to try to avoid mamzerut. So it's also a question about this sugya. But again, you have to remember, this is a discussion that's coming after the fact. They know that it's the case, so they're trying to give a reason as to why this was done. It's not necessarily saying, we believe this to be the case, and that's where we're going to make this drasha. They already know the drasha exists. They already know that a chot isha, they learn from here to everything, and they're just trying to give a reason. So therefore, the answer doesn't have to be as convincing. as if we decided to do it because of this reason. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, Ati b'kav chomer miyavama. Why couldn't we have learned it? Forget about this hekesh. Since we have a hekesh this way and we have a hekesh that way, so all of that should be thrown out the window. We can learn it from a different case. What case could we learn it from? The Yivama. What's the Yivama case? A Yivama, if you remember, it says, Lo tiye, okay, it's on your chart also, Lo tiye eshet hamei tachutza li'ish zar. What does that mean? That once the husband dies without children, the wife is supposed to marry somebody else, the brother. If she goes to marry somebody else without doing yibam or chalitza, there's an isur lav, and it says there, notice the word, lo tihiye eshet hamein. So what do they learn from here? That lo tafse behu kiddushin, because there's no havaya. It's like lo yikach. It's the same thing. So, what does he say here? So why don't we learn from a kavachomer miyavama? Ma yivama shehi belav lo tafse bakidushin. If you recall, what did we talk about? This whole thing is only nisur lav. It's not kared, it's not mitabetin, it's much less chamor. And yet we still say lo tafse bakidushin. So chayve mito v'chayve kritut lo kol shaken. There's your kavachomer. If in such a light case, like a yabam that's only chayve lavin, and yet we say lo tafse bakidushin, and then the child would also be a mamzer, why don't we apply this across the board? Now, by the way, this is a machloket. It's not clear. Not everybody agrees that the child of a yivama who doesn't do yibam or chalitza is going to be a mamzer. Not everybody agrees, okay? But the Gemara is now going according to the opinion that Rav Acha bar Yaakov himself holds by that opinion, and that's why he suggests this. So then they say, well, if you're going to learn it out from Yabam, then what would you assume then? That we're going to then say that all Chayve Lavim are going to be Mamzerim, right? Ein Kiddushin Tofsim, and the child's a Mamzer. And what did we learn about this? The major opinion, the majority opinion, says that Chayve Lavim are not Mamzerim, and Kiddushin is Tofsim. So ihachi shar chayve lavim nami. So if we're going to learn it out from the yabam, then we will learn it out to all chayve lavim that are like the yabam. In other words, yes, we'll make a kavachomer to chayve kritu to mito beitin, but we can also make, right, it's a binyan av. It builds a, right, we can learn from here to all other chayve lavim. So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa's going to say no. Because chayve lavim behediktiv behu. It says it explicitly, but chayve lavim, okay, now, Behedya means explicit, right? It definitely doesn't say it explicitly. We're going to see in a minute. Okay, but they're saying, Chayve Lavim, Rav Papa says, Behedya Ktiv Behu. It clearly says the Kiddushin or Tofsim. Okay, where does it say the Kiddushin or Tofsim in Chayve Lavim? Here's a Pasuk. Okay, Ki Tiena Le'ish Shtei Nashim, Ha'achat Ahuva V'ha'achat Snu'a. When a snua, when a husband has two wives, one he loves and one he doesn't love. What's the continuation? You remember this? He can't favor the one over the other, right? The son of the ahuva over the snua. So how did they learn from here? The chayve lavim aren't tofsim, right? It clearly doesn't say it explicitly, behedya, in this pasuk. But what are they going to say? The chiyesh snua lifnei makom v'ahuva lifnei makom. How could there be someone who's beloved before God and hated before God? It doesn't make any sense. So what must it be? Ela ahuva, ahuva benisueha. Snu'a, snu'a benisueha. Okay, we've actually seen this before. Ahuva means she's beloved to God because she married properly. And snu'a means she's hated by God because she didn't marry properly, meaning it's a woman from a marriage that was forbidden. Now what do you see here? V'kama rachmana, ki tihiyena. If a man takes two wives, one is beloved, one is not beloved. Now, obviously, the pshat is beloved to the person. But the drasha is, these two women must be, right, equal in some way. One is beloved, right, it's relating to God. One is beloved, one is not beloved. Why is she not beloved? Because it was a forbidden marriage. So now they're going to say that clearly here he had two wives because it says ki tihiyena, and it was a legitimate marriage. So therefore, we're going to say ki tihiyena, right, the shtei nashim. Okay, that one of them was married improperly, and therefore we say Kiddushin Tofsim. What's the issue?
It's just a very biased interpretation of the Pesukim.
Right. It's not a typical interpretation. Definitely. Right. So, if you look at Rashi, by the way, he says, why does he say that we get to Makom, right? Why does it have to do with God? So if you look at Tosfot, Dibor Matzchil v'chi yesh ahuva lefnei ha-makom, he says, Klomar, v'chi ahavato usinato shabal chashuva lefnei ha-makom, l'shano din ha-nachala b'shvila. In other words, l'shano din... Would God start bringing in a pasuk about whether a guy loves his wife, doesn't love his wife, and what does that have to do with God? He has to start bringing up this halacha. So therefore it's saying, it must be that it has to do with God. In other words, God's perspective. And you can't say, with the way they're looking at it is, you can't say, well, since this was a legit marriage and this was not a good marriage, you know, meaning, again, it was legitimate in the sense of Kiddushin Tosin, but it was not legitimate in the sense it was forbidden, you can't say, well, look, I'm married. But you can imagine this, by the way. This is very typical in old society. If, you know, the king had, you know, or anyone had a legitimate wife and a non-legitimate wife, a mistress or something, right? It, clearly, there was a mistreatment of the one that was subpar to the other. So that's what it's really... The way they're looking at it is saying, if you married someone that was allowed for you to marry, and you married someone that wasn't really allowed for you to marry, again, not chayvei kritud and not the real serious ones, but a little bit of a less serious thing, then, you know, don't treat that wife any different than you would your other wife, and don't treat their children any different.
That's, I think that the onus should be on the man and not on the woman. That's all.
In terms of who did it wrong. You're saying it makes it right. But again, I think they're getting into psychology, that the man who marries a woman who is not, he wasn't supposed to have married, he might mistreat her. And again, here we don't really care about the woman, we're concerned with her children. We're concerned with them not getting nachala, the proper nachala. Which you could definitely see happen. If a man has a mistress, he's not going to necessarily give the children. And what the Torah is trying to say is, you know, yes, you did something wrong, but don't take it out on the child, and the child still deserves, you're still his father. Okay, so therefore, that pasuk right now, okay, keep this in mind, that pasuk they're assuming teaches you that kiddushin tofsin b'chayav elavim, and that leads us to the famous shita that Rabbi Akiva is going to disagree with. He has a unique opinion here, but this is the opinion that's nifsak lahalacha. Because of kitiyena, we learn the kiddushin tofsin b'chayav elavim, okay, except for the abam. The abam is the unique case. Okay, so now we're going to have to understand Rabbi Akiva. Ula Rabbi Akiva da Amar in kiddushin tofsin b'chayve lavim. Now Rabbi Akiva holds that this isn't the case. So kitiyena b'may mokim. So what case is he going to have? Kitiyena applying. Okay, this is the second chart on the page. Which pasuk does this apply to? Again, if you say the pasuk applies in a particular case, you're going to say that while Rabbi Akiva says the ain kiddushin tofsim b'chayve lavim, what does he hold? Kiddushin or tofsim in some particular case. So, what case would that be? B'may mukim, ba'almana l'koin gadol, uki Rabbi Simai. Titanya Rabbi Simai omer, minakol haya Rabbi Akiva osem mamzer, chutz me'almana l'kohen gadol, sh'arei amra Torah, lo yichalel, chilulim osem ve'ein osem mamzerut. Well, Rabbi Akiva holds the ain kiddushin tofsim b'chayav elavim. He has one exception. What's his exception to the rule? And a widow marries a kohen gadol. Why is that an exception? In that case, Rabbi Akiva would hold the kiddushin or tofsim, even though it's forbidden. Kiddushin or tofsim. Why so? Because the pasuk says there, lo yichalel zar'o ba'amav. Okay, what do you see here? That the totza'av, what you would do, would be chilul. The child would be a halal, but not a mamzer. You follow? Because it's going to be chilulim, the Gemara is saying, therefore, it's just a halal, it's not mamzer. And therefore, according to Rabbi Simai, the pasuk kitiyena is talking about a unique case of an almana l'kohen gadol. In that case, kiddushin or tofsin, but not in any other chayvei lavim. That's one interpretation of Rabbi Akiva. We're going to see three now. One is in the name of Rabbi Simai, and two are going to be in the name of Rabbi Yeshvav. There were two interpretations of what he held. So comes Rabbi Yeshvav, and he says, Rabbi Yeshvav da Amar, now interestingly enough, he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva, but he tries to explain him. Okay? He says, Bo v'nitzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef, right? He treats him with disrespect, right? He calls him Akiva ben Yosef instead of Rabbi Akiva. He says, we should go and scream out against Akiva ben Yosef for what he said, because he says it's outrageous what he says. Shahaya Omer, Kol she'en, you can see, by the way, that this got people worked up, this issue. Are kids mamzerim? Are they not? Because if Rabbi Akiva comes and says they are mamzerim, and everybody thinks they're not mamzerim, that obviously is going to create a big issue in the community, because somebody thinks these children are mamzerim and somebody thinks they're not. So he says we should go scream out against Akiva ben Yosef. Why? Now he's going to say what he would say. Shahaya omer, kol she'en lo bi'a b'Yisrael, havlab mamzer. Because he said that anyone that there's no bi'ah b'Yisrael, meaning you can't sleep with her, the vlad is going to be a mamzer, and he thinks, you know, we shouldn't say that. Now, that's what Rabbi Yeshvav said. That he definitely said. The question is, what did he mean here? So, ha'nicha l'Rabbi Yeshvav, it makes sense if you say that Rabbi Yeshvav was coming. Ila afuke midrabbi Simai ka'ate, shapir. If you say that he was coming to disagree with Rabbi Simai, which means that what was he saying? Rabbi Simai said there was one exception to the rule, right? What was the exception? The Amanah Kohen Gadol. So he comes and says, no, Rabbi Akiva didn't have that exception at all. That's he's responding to Rabbi Simai. Rabbi Simai said that anyone is going to be a mom is there except the Amanah Kohen Gadol. And he says, no, even the mom's there, even a Amanah Kohen Gadol is going to be a mom's there. So if that's the case, then shapir, why? Then what would you say this pasuk is referring to? So then, this pasuk is saying, ki tiyena is chayve ase. Now, if you remember, what do we have? If you have your hierarchy, we start with, right, krito to mito beitin, right? I think mito beitin would be the highest, and then kritut, and then lavim, and then chayve ase. What are chayve ase? The mitzri, right? Oh, by the way, I meant to correct myself yesterday. The amoni, right? The amoni and the moavi can never, ad olam, it says, the pasuk says, this is why I remember, dur asiri lo yavo, something like that, ad olam. Right. And even dur asiri, it says in the pasuk. That's why I got confused. I knew there was something with 10th generation. A woman, yes, that we said yesterday. But what I couldn't remember is it forbidden forever or is it 10 generations? It's because the pasuk says, even the 10th generation can't come, ad olam, meaning it's forever. But the pasuk mentioned the 10th generation, that's why I remembered it. Anyway, a mitzri is a chiyuv ase. What does that mean? It says, dor shlishi, you can marry of a mitzri. So what does that mean? It's an ase, but from an ase, you can learn a lav, right? So it's not a lav, because it doesn't say, don't marry a mitzri. It says, you can marry only the third generation. So that's already a lower level. So what's Rabbi Akiva going to say, according to Rabbi Yeshvav? That when it comes to chayve lavim, in no case for kiddushin tofsim. The pasuk ki tiyena is talking about chayve ase. Okay? That's what he would say. But Itama Dinafshe Kamar, if you say that Rabbi Yeshvav isn't relating to Rabbi Simai, he's coming to say his own chidush. He didn't hear Rabbi Simai or he wasn't reacting to him. He's just talking in general, and he thinks that Rabbi Akiva was pasul everybody, which means afilu, right? What did he say? Kol she'en lo bi'abi Yisrael, meaning even chayve ase, Rabbi Akiva would say, right? Ein lo bi'abi Yisrael, and Mitzri would be part of that. You're not allowed to sleep with her. So afilu chayve ase, so b'may mokim la. So he's going to still have one case where Rabbi Akiva says kiddushin or tofsim. Which case is that going to be? It's going to be a chayve ase exception. B'be'ula l'koin gadol. What do we know about a koin gadol? He has to marry someone who's a betula. So, and it's also, it's a chiyuv ase, because it only says, right, that he has to marry a betula. It doesn't say he can't marry someone who's not a betula. So in that case, it's going to be an exception. Umayishna, and obviously, why is that an exception to the rule? Mishum dehavei le'aseh she'eino shaveh b'kol. That's the one case he'll say, because it's a case, not only is it eino shaveh b'kol, what does it mean, eino shaveh b'kol? It doesn't relate to everybody equally, meaning it's only a kohen gadol. And not only that, but it's one person in the world. You know, maybe there'll be a few kohenim gadolim who have that status. We learned about that in a certain time, right, they switched every year. So maybe 40, let's say, I don't know, 50. But that's it, right? When you talk about the whole population, it's such a narrow thing, and therefore that's his exception. So when it says kitiyena, it would be referring to the bu'ula l'kohen gadol, and that would be the case. So now we're going to go back. The rabbanan adamoke labachiv chayve lavim nukma v'chayve ase. One second, this is going back to, remember for a second. Right, Rabbanan, who said the kitiyena, if we go back, right, against Rabbi Akiva. Now let's go back to the last thing on the chart there, on the first chart. Right, the kitiyena is referring to chayve lavim. Okay, then what would we say? Ademoke la b'chayve lavim, nukma b'chayve ase. Why didn't they say the kitiyena is chayve ase, and chayve lavim, the child would be a mamzer? Why didn't, now that we know that there's different levels. Why didn't they pick the lower level? Why did they pick, you know, an in-between level of the Chai Ve'lavim to say the Ein Kiddushin Tofsin? The Kiddushin are Tofsin. So what do they say? Hani Chai Ve'aseh B'mayim Minhu. How could this pasuk be referring to Chai Ve'aseh? Now there's an assumption. The pasuk starts out, Ki Tiena Shei Nashim. If it says Shei Nashim, the assumption is there are two women who are somewhat equal. Okay, because when it says two women, they have to be, you know, both Jews, both something else, both, okay, they have to be similar. Ishtem mitzriot, then shtehen snuot. If you say they're both mitzriot, well, then they're both hated by God, so to speak, right? It's a forbidden marriage. Iechat mitzrit ve'achad yisraelit, shtey nashim me'am achad be'inan. And it doesn't work out in the pasuk to say that one's talking about a Mitzri and one's talking about a Jewish woman, because there's imbalance here, right? And we can't have imbalance from different nations. We can have imbalance when it comes to one woman who's, forbidden marriage and one woman who's a permitted marriage. But we can't have imbalance where we have two women from different nations. That doesn't make any sense. And I be'ula lekohen gadol, miktiv tiena lekohen. What do we say? If we say it's talking about a be'ula lekohen gadol, it doesn't say ki tiena lekohen, right? If it was a kohen gadol, it should have said lekohen. So that doesn't make any sense. Now, obviously, that's how Rabbi Akiva reads it according to the last reading of Rabbi Yeshvah, that the pasuk is relating to a kohen. But chachamim, they're basically saying chachamim have no case of a chai ve'aseh to say that, because it would either be a mitzri and a yisraelit, or it would be a kohen gadol, you know, and a regular person, and it doesn't say kohen gadol. It doesn't make any sense. So it's too difficult to explain the pasuk that way, and that's why they don't. Well, now, what about Rabbi Akiva? How does Rabbi Akiva explain the pasuk in such a difficult way? So what does he say? Rabbi Akiva, bal korche shavche lekrada habedachik umoke anafshe. He had no choice. In other words, he had a worldview that we're talking about the chai ve'lavim, Kiddushin or Tofsin. That was his worldview. And therefore, he couldn't read the pasuk any other way, but a way that was difficult to read according to the pshat. Okay? That's how they, it's an interesting answer. Right? They say he had no choice but to read the pasuk that way. Okay? Because it didn't make sense to him any other way. Okay, now we're moving on to the interesting topic about who is a Jew story, okay? What the sources for all that are going to be. We've seen some of these already, a lot of it, but we're going to see it again now, and then we'll discuss. V'kol mi she'en la'alav, okay, and this is the last case there, v'en la'alav v'lo al'achirim kiddushim. She can't marry anybody because she's a shifcha or a nochrit, right? The Vlad is going, now what do we say there? Vlada kamoha. Right? That the Vlad is going to be like her. It's going to go by the mother. Shibcha k'na'anit minalam. Where do we learn the shibcha k'na'anit? Amar Rav Huna Amar Kra. Shvu lachem poem achamor. We saw this the other day. Am hadomeh lechamor. When it says by Avraham, sit there with the chamor, right, in the Akedah. So shvu lachem poem achamor. He says to his narim, you know, and aniva nar necha adko. Right, that's what I think I'm remembering right. Right, Nechag Adko. So then he said, they say, what's the chamor? The chamor with the avadim, right? He's saying to his avadim, sit here with the chamor. They're saying, your place is with the chamor. You're like a chamor. Okay, they're like a chamor. So Eshkechan delo tafse bakidushe. So that explains to us what? That explains how we know the Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, because you certainly can't have marriage with a chamor. So if a shivcha is like a chamor, then there's no marriage. But vlada kamoa minalam. But where do we learn that the vlad is going to go by the mother? Damarkra ha'isha v'yiladeh tiel adoneha. What does it say, right? If you have, let's read the whole pasuk in Shmo Kaf Aleph with the Eved Ivri. Im Adonav Yitain Lo Isha, remember, if when you go to be an Eved Ivri and he gives you a woman to sleep with, a Shifcha, V'yalda Lo Banim O Banot, and they have children, Ha'isha V'yaladeh Tiel Adonah. That's, who do the children belong to? They belong to the Adon because they go by the mother. So that seems a pretty clear-cut proof. Nochrit Minalan. Here comes the difficult part, okay? Now we're going to read our sugya. Okay, they're going to quote the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and then I'm going to give you a little historical background that wasn't always the case. Okay, this is a very interesting sugya. Nochrit minalan. How do you know that if somebody marries a non-Jewish woman, that a man marries a non-Jewish woman, that, again, we have to say, number one, Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, And number two, now remember, when Ein Kiddushin, what's interesting about both these cases is, even though Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, we said this when we learned the Mishnah, what does it mean? Generally, we say Ein Kiddushin Tofsin means the Vlad is a Mamzer. In this case, since the Vlad isn't Jewish at all, the Vlad isn't called a Mamzer. Okay, what you see is a Mamzer is if the Vlad is a Jew, which means that if it goes by the mother, then if the child converts, the child can marry anybody. Okay, there's no issue.
So you're better off.
So you're better off, right. Right, cool. It's a, yeah. Okay, so now, although if the mother's Jewish, you also, if the mother's Jewish and the child's Jewish, it's also not called a Mamzer.
But then it wouldn't be a situation where it's Ein Tofsin.
Right, so they're also Ein Kiddushin Tofsin, because no marriage with a non-Jew is Tofes, and yet the child's not a Mamzer. Also not a Mamzer in that case. Then the Jew, right, people who intermarry, their children are not Mamzerim. Okay, a woman intermarries, the child's Jewish. For all intents and purposes. Now, there's a big machla, okay? There's a whole big thing about this historically. There's different sources. I can refer you to an article that was written, it's on the Yeshiva Petach Tikva website. And it's written by, Rav Tzvi Yanir, okay? And he does a whole historical analysis. There's another sugya in Ayin Hay. Maybe when we get there, we'll go through it even more. But, he goes through a whole historical analysis about it wasn't always the case, and that it went by the mother, and that things changed over time, and then at a certain point they were more decisive about it, but that it was more open earlier on, and that things changed, and we'll talk a little bit about why they did it, right? The whole question, really, I mean, this is begs the question, why does it go by the mother, really? And as we're going to see psukim, but psukim don't prove anything, because you can explain the psukim any way you want, really. So the questions, and you'll see particularly why, really here, you could explain the psukim anyway. The question is, what's at the root of it? Why did they decide that way and not the other way?
It's the only way to know.
Right, so one answer is it's the only way to know who the child, right, who the child belongs to, because it's the mother. But yet, in so many other ways, right, look at the Mishnah. In a regular case, it goes by the Zachar, right? So it's not always, and everything there was a male, right? The Nahala went by the father. So many things went by the father that it's interesting that this goes by the mother. And we had also before, if it was Pagum, right? If there was Komakom Shiesh Kiddushin V'yesh Avera, Havlado Lechachar Pagum, whichever one was the one that was worse than the other. Which means that in those cases, and it's maybe you say in a good case, so we know they're being legitimate, a regular Kohen Levi Yisrael marries, but yeah, we can assume the father says he's the father, he's the father. But in a case where there's something not right going on, some of the cases we say it goes by the paguma, not necessarily by the mother. So you could say that that's the reason, but it's not clear cut across the board that that would be the only reason. Okay, so now let's start. Nochrit minalan. So the first question is going to be, how do we know the Ein Kiddushin Tofsin? Amar kra lo titchatein bam. Okay, there we have it. You cannot marry them. So if you can't marry them, the assumption is then there's no Kiddushin Tofsin. Eshkachna de lo tafse ba Kiddushin. Vlada kamota minalan. So that, okay, we understand lo tafse ba Kiddushin. But what about the second issue? What about the fact that the Vlad is going to be like her? How do we know that? Okay, by the way, this is charted at the very bottom of the page, all the psukim. Da amar kra. Ki yasira bincha mechorai. Bincha haba miyisraelit karoi bincha. Ve'ein bincha haba min ovedet kochavim karoi bincha ela bina. Okay, here's our drasha. And to understand this drasha, you have to read the entire pasuk and the two pasukim. So if you look in the Torah or it's there. Okay, the first pasuk, it's Dvarim pasuk, Perek Zayin pasuk Yimel. Lo titchatein bam. Okay, don't marry them. What's the continuation? Bitcha lo titein lebino. Don't give your daughter to the non-Jewish son, okay? Ubito lo tikach lebenecha, and don't take their daughters for your sons. Now, since it ends with that, they're going to assume that the next, right, here's the way the drasha works, and that's why I said it could go either way. It gave both. It's not like it only talked in one direction. But since the last thing it said is, don't give your daughters to their sons, which means the son marries a non-Jewish woman, the next pasuk says, Ki yasir et bincha me'acharai v'avdu elohim achirim v'acharav Hashem b'chem v'yishmitcha meher. What's going to happen if you do that? He will turn your son away from God, Okay, now what does it mean, your son? Right? What happened in this case? The son, who's the son? We're really talking about the grandson. And who's the grandson? The grandson is the son of the Jewish, right? Your daughter, don't give to, sorry, one second. It's the case where it's still called your son because it's the, it's the wrong case. It's bitcha lo titein lebino, right? It's talking about the first case, that in the case of bitcha lo titein lebino, right. Okay, so Rashi says, look in Rashi for a minute. Let's just read Rashi together. Ki asir bincha. Third line in Rashi. La'el minektiv bitcha lo titen lebino, bito lo titen lebinecha. Rashi's telling you, pay attention, that that's the pasuk before. Usamech le ki asir bincha. Midiloktiv ki asir et bitcha. Here Rashi says, since it doesn't say your daughter, mashma de ben hanolad ove kochavim mi bitcha ka'amar. The assumption is it's talking about a son that's born from your daughter. Okay, this assumption one can question. It's not a convincing argument. That's what I'm trying to say here, right? The fact that it means that it's talking about your son from your daughter isn't so clear cut from the pasuk. So therefore, what are they saying? Since it calls him bincha, okay, let's read it in the words now. So this is passed on the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Ki yasir bincha me'acharai, bincha haba mi'yisraelit karoi bincha. They're assuming the bincha is the son of your daughter. And since the son of your daughter is called bincha, therefore it means he's Jewish. But ein bincha haba me'na'ovede kochavim karoi bincha. But the reverse would not be true. Okay, like I said, this is not a convincing argument. This is clear. This is one of those cases where that's what they wanted to teach, so that's the direction they taught it. Amar Ravina, Shmamina, Ben. So Ravina says from here, Ben Bitcha Haba Menavei Kochavim Karoi Bincha. Okay, so he says it explicitly. We can learn from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that the son of your daughter, if your daughter married a non-Jew, will be called your son still. It'll go after the mother. And now we're going to say Nema Kasava Ravina. We can assume that what does Ravina hold? Ovei Kochavim Be'Eved Haba Alba Israel Havla Mamzer. So now they're saying, well, if he says that if it's Bamin Ovei Kochavim, it's Karoi Bincha, but still we can assume that the Vlab would be a Mamzer. So now they say, Nihi Dekasher Lohave, Mamzer Lohave, Psul Mikre. So now they say, no, just because, now here there's a big machloket about this. What's this? There's a three-way machloket, okay? It doesn't appear here, but there's a three-way machloket as to how to view this child. Is he Kasher Legamre? Is he a mamzer, right? This is the child born from a woman and a non-Jew. Okay, a Jewish woman, non-Jew. Yes, it's, right, what do we say, see here? We say that it's called bincha, but they're assuming that Ravina means, but it's still the Vlad is mamzer. Okay, yes, it's Jewish, but it's a Jewish mamzer. So they say no. Just because it might not be kasher, it might not be the best thing to do, it still doesn't mean lo have mamzer, okay? Mamzer lo have. What do we call it? Pasul mikri. Now, what does pasul mean? Remember, we've seen this term before. Pasul lekihuna. Okay, so now what we're going to say is, okay, what you don't see here, you see the three options here. You don't see that it's actually a three-way machloket, which appears in other places. Is the vlog going to be a mamzer? Is the vlog going to be kasher legamre? Or is it going to be this in-between, where it can't marry a kohen? Okay, so the Gemara here concludes that it's a pasul. Okay, it's pasul lekihuna, can't marry a kohen.
That's only
the psak halacha, by the way, this is if it comes from if the daughter is Jewish, the woman is Jewish, the husband is non-Jewish, the child that's born from there is going to be right. It would only be relevant for a woman. You're right. There's no relevance for a son. That's true, because it's only pasul to marry a kohen. But it's called pasul. There might not be any ramifications for it. That's a good point. The halacha is that it's pasul, meaning they can't marry a kohen. However, if they did, b'diyevet, it's okay. Okay? That's the psak, if I read it correctly. So now they say, hahu bish. Okay, so this whole thing, we learned this all from lo titchatein bam. Now, what's the basic question? Lo titchatein bam is referring to who? Not all non-Jews. It's referring to the seven nations. So what does the Gemara now say? Hahu b'shiv agoyim k'tiv. Sharu mot minalan. Where do we learn the rest of the nations that any non-Jew this is going to be relevant for? Amar kra ki asir et bincha lirabot kol ha-mesirim. It says because they're going to turn your son away. Well, anyone can turn your son away. So hani chalirish lakish de darish tama de kra. Sorry, the Rabbi Shimon de darish tama de kra. This makes sense to Rabbi Shimon, who darshins tama de kra, meaning you could say, well, if the logic applies, well, then let's apply the logic. Ela l'rabbanan, who don't darish tama de kra, and the pasuk was only referring to Sheva Amim. Where does he learn this from? My tama. So he says amar kra. Where's this? This is the Eshet Yifat Tohar. When you find a woman, you capture her in war, like the assumption is not from the Sheva Amim. And then what happens? After you go through the whole process where she grows her nails and her hair and all that stuff, right? And then it says, then you can go sleep with her. Michlal, so what are they assuming? If it says, and then you can go sleep with her, it means the assumption is you slept with her before also, but only now it's mutar. Michlal de miikara, when you slept with her when it was forbidden, lo tafsi bakidushin. Okay, and that's where you learn that a non-Jewish lo tafsi bakidushin, any non-Jew. So eshkachan de lo tafsi bakidushin vladak motaminala. But how do we learn that the vlad's going to be like her? Again, we have those two issues all the time, right? When it came to the moms there, we always said they're linked. But here, the vlad goes like who? That's not linked. Amar kra ki tiena liish vialdulo. So this is. The kitiyan al ishte nashim, right? And then it says v'yaldu lo banim, kol hecha de krina be kitiyana krina be v'yaldu lo, but kol hecha de lo krina be kitiyana lo krina be v'yaldu lo. In a case where you can say that there was havaya, you could say the children are yours. In a case where you can't, then the children aren't necessarily yours, meaning they're not called by you. They're not going to be Jewish. Okay, I'm going to stop here for now with the Gemara. I want to just go off a little bit and talk about what he mentioned in his. Okay, one of the reasons, what he mentions in this article as to why, and he quotes the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni on that pasuk says, "V'kol shekem bitcha," and it's, which is the big chidush of that pasuk, that your, let me just say it right, that your son, you can't give to their daughters, is a bigger chidush, is a bigger chidush. But your daughters, you can't give to their sons, for sure is a problem. Why? How did everything work there? It worked patrilineal. So in terms of society, the woman went to live in the man's house, right? So if a woman got married, she went to live with her husband, right? They get nachala. So to give your daughters to them would basically mean total assimilation. They go live in a non-Jewish community. If you bring in their daughter, that's the chiddush. It's saying, even if you bring her into your house, we're still worried that ki yasir bin chameh acharai. Okay, and therefore, that's the case where they had to be more machmir, because you might have thought it would be okay. And that's why they're telling you, if you do it in that way, the child is going to remain not Jewish. Because they wanted to discourage that kind of a thing. Okay?
Given that the woman is going away, and she's going to live in a non-Jewish assembly home, it seems almost backwards to therefore insist that her child will be Jewish.
Maybe that was the only way to keep it. Right. It's definitely much more difficult. Much more
difficult. Whereas if you bring a child into the community and then say you can't actually be part of it.
So that's a bit of a weakness in that position. Right. I wanted to suggest something else, which is that I thought that in that society, take the Eshet Yifat Tohar, right? You don't see women going chasing off. I mean, you do see that they came with Midian and they did znut to the women. But I'm wondering if the concern is more that the man will go off and find some woman he's attracted to and go marry, and they were not as concerned about the women doing it, particularly because the women were married off by their fathers. The father doesn't have major interest to go marry off to a non-Jew. Generally, it would be more like the Eshet Yifat Tohar. He's attracted to this woman. He wants to be with her. So it could be that it was also and again, being that this article in Rav Tzvi Anir, he basically claims that there was a historical change over time, and it was became more of an issue, this whole assimilation, and that's why they were more machmir on it, and they changed their tone as time went on. It could be that the issue that was more pressing was, in the Torah, it's all equal. There's really no reason, and that's why he says historically, there was no difference at some point in history. But as time went on, it changed, and it could be, he doesn't say this, but my suggestion is, it could be that the switch was more because the men were pursuing women from outside the community rather than the women pursuing men. And maybe that's a possibility as to why they were machmir and said, you know, your child's not going to be Jewish if you do that, as a way of deterring.
But even in the Torah, every time it says they will turn your head or they will turn you towards idolatry of the Zarah is always in reference to the women. The women of the other nation will come and will. So
right.
Any reference you have to it in the Tanakh.
Right, you're saying even the Torah is a little bit one-sided in the sense.
Yeah.
Right, and that proves my point that whether you say it was historical change or not, either which way, the more concern is that women are going to turn men away. And that's. The women in general were more in the, you know, they weren't getting out there and on the streets.
There were arranged marriages for
exactly.
economic reasons and for political reasons.
Right, there were a lot of arranged marriages and the fathers were marrying off the daughters, whereas the sons, sometimes, I mean, the pasuk was actually referring to the father not marrying off the son and not marrying off his daughter. But generally, the men were a little bit more free to go out and pursue the world and find things along the way and that's why I think it's more geared toward that direction rather than the other. And that could explain a possibility, you know, it could be a possible way of explaining. Okay, we'll come across the sugya again. Maybe we'll have more thoughts about it as we go on.